So for those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Christian, and it is my honor and privilege to be on the pastoral team here at North Central. Usually I'm with the kids and the teenagers, but today I get to be with the adults, so this is super fun for me. But before we get into the main message of Jonah, I have to come clean about something. I have sinned against all of you. And I am hoping that you will find it in your heart to forgive me. So about a year and a half ago, I was on my way into work here at North Central, and it was during the school year. I was driving along, approaching a school zone, and like any smart driver would do, I slowed down because I knew that the speed limit was less there, and I kind of checked to make sure I wasn't on my cell phone, made sure my seatbelt was on, you know, the usual stuff that you should be doing. And as I approached the crosswalk, I noticed that there was a New York State Trooper coming in the opposite direction. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, whenever I see a police officer on the road, I immediately get nervous. I just assume that I'm guilty, and I'm just making sure that everything's in line. So I kind of look at him as he goes, and as he's going past me, I just made sure that I checked in my rearview mirror to see what he was doing, and to my surprise, I saw him pull a U-turn in the middle of the road, right in front of the school. And so I didn't know if I had done anything wrong, but I knew that that wasn't really a good thing. Usually if there's a U-turn in the middle of the road from a cop, that means that you've done something bad. And so I decided, better safe than sorry, what else should you do than try to escape? And so I dipped into the first left-hand turn into an apartment complex, and at first I was a little bit relieved because I didn't see any flashing lights and I didn't see the police officer, but as I kept looking in my rearview mirror, he did appear, and time just kind of slowed down into this time warp, and he's slowly approaching, and I'm waiting for the lights to turn on, wondering if he just randomly pulled in after me. I really didn't know if I had done something wrong. And so we get all the way into the apartment complex, and finally I hear whoop, whoop, and the lights start flashing, and my heart sunk, but at least I knew that he was after me. And so pull over, he comes over the window, asks me for license and registration, and then he goes back to the vehicle. And it was taking a long time. It was taking more time than usual. I'm not saying that I'm prone to getting tickets, but let's just say I know what the process is. And it's taking a long time. And so he finally comes back to the window, and he says, are you Christian Glisson that works at North Central Church? And I said, yeah, that's me. And he said, so do you think that it was a good reflection of your job as a pastor to try to escape the police? At that moment, I didn't know whether to burst into tears or just do something extreme, but he kind of continued on, and he said, the reason that I pulled you over was because your registration is expired, and now I'm in this place where you tried to escape me, but he said, you know, I'm going to let you go this time because I'm trusting that it's not going to happen again. And so the immediate weight of getting a ticket was relieved, but then there's that guilt of not only have I done something stupid to just make my own name tarnished, but potentially tarnished the name of North Central. So I hope that you will find it in your heart to forgive me. But the reason I tell that story is because there were two things that the police officer did that day that I was thankful for, and I think it has a lot to do with what we're going to talk about today in the book of Jonah. And so the police officer, he pursued me with patience, and he pursued me with purpose. His purpose was to make sure that I was obeying the law, not to just enforce the law for making me upset, but he wanted to make sure that everybody was safe. And so he did that, and he also did it with patience. I didn't realize it, but he had actually given a phone call to Pastor Jonathan Valletta, who is close friends with a state trooper, and he said, hey, I've got one of your pastors here pulled over. And so needless to say, it was a little bit of an awkward interaction when I stepped in the office that day, but both Pastor Jonathan and Pastor Dan were there greeting me with smiles and thankfully quickly forgave me and a little teasing here and there on the way. But My hope for you today is that you will see the big picture of who God is, and that is that God pursues people with purpose, and he does it with patience. And so we're going to take a look at the book of Jonah, but before we go into that, there's a tension that we have to address, and it's this. Are you okay with God loving your enemies? Are you okay with it? And we'll talk about that as we go, but let's take a look at Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse 1. So if you've got your antique Bible, you can turn there, or if you want to pull it up on your phone, you can do that, and I'll read it for us. We're going to be in the New Living Translation today. All right, it says this. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Many of us are familiar with the story of Jonah, and if you've grown up in the church, you've probably heard this story in Sunday school or kids' church, and so much of what we talk about today might be review, but I think most of us actually miss one of the most important things of Jonah, and so I'm excited to share that with you this morning. You may or may not know, but we're going to take a look at a map here. There's a map of how far Joppa and Tarshish are from each other. It's 2,500 miles away, and then it's an additional 500 miles away to Nineveh. So Jonah gets this news that he's supposed to go to Nineveh, and not only does he flee, but he flees across the ocean to the farthest point that he can possibly think of. And so we'll continue the story on from there. Jonah hops on board of the ship, and not far into the trip, the ship enters into a storm. And as the storm is swirling around and the waves are crashing in, the sailors on the ship are trying to figure out what to do. The storm is so powerful that the Bible says it's about to rip the ship in half. And so these sailors are chucking their cargo off the side, and this is thousands of dollars of goods that they've got because these are merchants and they're going over to sell their goods. And so these guys are desperate. After they've chucked everything off the side of the ship, they realize that's not working, and they remember that there's this guy that is on the ship with them named Jonah. And he's down in the bottom of the ship during this entire storm, sleeping. And so as the storm rages on, one of the sailors goes down, and he picks up Jonah, and he says, Jonah, we need you to pray to your God. You mentioned that you pray to the God of Israel, you follow the God of Israel, we need you to do that now. We've prayed to all of our gods, and it's not working out. And so Jonah says, I just want you to throw me overboard. I know that that's what needs to happen. And so the sailors are kind of hesitant. They don't want to have Jonah's blood on their hands. And so they cast lots to see who's the culprit, and it comes back that it is Jonah. And so long story short, they decide, okay, we're going to let this guy jump over the boat. Otherwise, we're all going to die. And so Jonah jumps off the boat. And the most exciting, most well-known part of the story, this big fish comes and swallows Jonah up. And I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I always thought that was just like additional punishment, where God was really upset with Jonah, and here comes this killer whale, Shamu, and he's just going to swallow Jonah up. But actually, God is rescuing Jonah as he's sinking down into the ocean trying to kill himself. And the story doesn't end there. It continues. Jonah, while he's in the belly of the whale, he repents. And he sees that he's wrong, and he asks God for forgiveness. And so as he does that, the whale, he has a little tummy ache and throws up Jonah onto the side of the sand, and God gives Jonah a message for the Ninevites. And so as Jonah enters into the city of Nineveh, he goes in and he starts to declare this message that God has given him. And this message is kind of strange in that it doesn't mention God, and it's kind of short. And really, all Jonah says is, in 40 days, Nineveh will be overturned. But despite how short and potentially awkward that message is, the Ninevites and the king of Nineveh decide that they should repent. And so for 40 days, the king of Nineveh decreed that they should avoid eating food, and they should avoid drinking water. And not only were they going to do it, but their animals were going to do it too, which sounds like animal cruelty, but they're very serious about what's happening. And so as they are repenting and putting on their sackcloth and ashes, God decides to spare them and show pity on them. And Jonah's not very happy about it. He goes out beyond the city walls and he sits down in the hot sun and he just kind of starts to pout a little bit. And God, in his grace, he provides a plant for Jonah, some shade. And after a few days, he also sees it fit for the plant to die and to wither away. And at this point, Jonah is upset that the Ninevites are repenting and they're getting a second chance. And he's also upset that God took away this plant that was providing him shade. And God responds by asking him a question. He says, "Jonah, is your anger justified?" And Jonah says, "Yes. And I want you to kill me now." And that is where the book of Jonah ends. So that's probably not the version that you heard as a kid, in that at the end of the book, Jonah ends with, "I am so angry with you, God, and so angry to the point that I hope you just kill me now." And so we're going to get a little bit further into this, and there's two things that I hope that we'll come away with today, and that is what we led with. I hope that you see that God pursues you with purpose, and I hope that you see that God pursues you with patience. And so the first being purpose. I hope that you see God pursuing you with purpose. Just curious, by raise of hands, and I know that I hate when people ask me to raise my hand when I hear a message, but just flatter me for a minute. How many of you have ever experienced someone with bad breath? And you had that awkward tension of whether or not you should tell them that they had bad breath. It may have been me that you wanted to tell had bad breath. I am a coffee drinker, and my daughter lets me know very often that I have stinky breath. But we have that tension of whether we're going to go and tell them or not. Maybe their fly is unzipped, or maybe they have bad body odor. It's really good news for them to hear what we're telling them, but for whatever reason, we feel this tension of whether or not we should be the one that brings the news, even though we kind of know that it's good news for them, and if they trust us and believe us, then it's in their best interest. But Jonah's purpose was to go and tell also. He had good news for the Ninevites, but he didn't really see it that way, and so it's easy to look at Jonah and think, yeah, you know, Jonah, what a mopey baby. But to Jonah's credit, he was going to one of the largest cities in the Assyrian Empire, and that city was at least wide enough to have three chariots wide on top of their wall. So this is like a fortress of a place that you're entering into. And leading up to Jonah entering into the city of Nineveh, he had been part of the nation of Israel, which Assyria had tried to totally wipe out Israel three times leading up to Jonah going there. So imagine your worst enemy and somebody that has attacked you, and the cherry on top is that Nineveh is located in modern-day Mosul, Iraq. So I want you to imagine God is saying to you, I want you to go to northern Iraq and tell them that I'm going to destroy them, and just wait and see what happens, even though they hate you and the country that you're from. So these are the great-great-grandfathers of ISIS and the Taliban. So go, and I want you to tell them that I'm going to destroy them. And so in some way, it's a little bit justified that Jonah was nervous. The Ninevites, they had a little bit of an easier purpose. Their purpose was to turn and follow. They, at this point, had been living in a way that was deplorable, and their sin was very, very outright. And they knew that they were participating in things that weren't appropriate. And so we find ourselves in one of the two camps. We might be more like Jonah, or we might be more like the Ninevites. For some of you today, God is speaking to you, maybe for the first time, or maybe it's the time that is going to get through, and you're realizing that you're in the position of the Ninevites, and God is asking you to turn and follow him today. And some of you, God is asking you to go and tell. There's people in your life that need to hear the good news that you have. And so the good news is that despite where we're at, God pursues us with patience. And One of the things that you may or may not know about me is that my wife and I met when we were in high school. And actually, I wasn't even in high school. I was 14, and so I wasn't allowed to date until I was 16. So, of course, we just kind of did it behind my parents' back. Sorry, Mom and Dad. And 7 years go by, but backtrack 5 years. So 19 years old, out of high school, and after dating for so long, I knew that she was the girl that I wanted to marry. And so, like the rule follower that I am, I knew that I needed to ask my now father-in-law for his blessing. And I thought this was going to be just an easy home run. I was there every day at their house. There was no question that I wanted to marry his daughter. And so I'm thinking of the right way to do it. I was a little afraid of him and maybe still am. And I decide on the moment, and I get the guts to do it, and I ask him, and to my surprise, he said, "You know what? I don't know if I have an answer for you right now. Give me a few weeks. I want to talk to Mom about it, and I'll get back to you." And I thought, wow, that is not the way that I thought it was going to go. I thought this was just like a formality. And so 2 weeks go by, and we have another conversation. And I was pretty nervous about that conversation, and the conversation, again, didn't really go the way that I thought it would. I thought maybe I caught him off guard, and, you know, maybe he just wanted to make sure that he didn't give me an answer right away. And he said, "You know what, Mom and I prayed about it, and we would like you to wait a year, just so that you guys can do some things to get yourself in a better position." And so we did. And the point of the story is I waited 5 years, but then I waited an additional two before we actually got married, and so it was this 7-year wait to marry this girl who I wanted to marry, and it was pretty easy for me to wait, all things considered, because I knew that it was worth the wait. And the same is true when it comes to God and us. Despite our bad behavior and despite our bad attitudes, God sees us for who we are, and he's willing to wait for us. He sees who he designed us to be, and he sees the best in us. And so thank God that God is patient with Jonah's bad attitude. We see that as he's entering the city of Nineveh, and he's just like a little child saying, "You know what? I just want you to kill me. Kill me now, God." And thank God that God saw through that, and he continued to pursue Jonah, and that Jonah was obedient. And there's sometimes that we have bad attitudes as well. Some of us have some people groups that we really don't care for, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand or give away where this might fit for you, but some of you don't like people who sit in the left lane and don't pass. Some of you don't like the people who are behind you in the left lane tailgating you, honking their horn, flashing their lights. Some of us don't like President Trump. Some of us love President Trump. We don't like male chauvinists. Some of us don't like feminists. Some of us don't like the welfare state. Some of us don't like people of privilege. Some of us don't like gender-neutral bathrooms, and some of us wish that more people would be for it. And then some of us don't like Christians who sit on street corners and shout. And some of us don't like Christians who are apathetic about their faith and don't share it ever. And so wherever you fall in that group, it doesn't fully matter. My hope is that God will continue to pursue you with patience. But as we look at that, we see that God loves all of those people. And you are one of those people. You fall into that group and that category somewhere. And so thank God that he pursues us despite our bad attitudes. The second thing, thank God that God is patient with the Ninevites' bad behavior. Some of you have been running from God for a while. And it doesn't have anything to do with whether you've been coming to church. Maybe you're just starting to re-enter the church world. Maybe you've been here for a while and you're just kind of doing your thing. But some of us have been captivated by bad behavior. And we are caught up in addictions. We're caught up in looking at things online that we shouldn't be. We're caught up in over-exercising, overeating. We're caught up in spending, we're caught up in saving, maybe we're gossipers, maybe we're the type of people that love to have those conversations like, "Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Yeah, we should pray for them after you've spilled the beans. Maybe you're caught up idolizing your kids, your grandkids, and they have become the center of attention for you, and so their success is where you measure your success. Maybe it's laziness. Maybe you've been caught up in just thinking, you know what? Somebody else can do it. Somebody else can do it. I put my time in. I've worked hard all day. Whatever it be, somebody else can do it. The list goes on, but despite our bad behavior, God is patient with us, and he's pursuing us. And God has given us all unique purpose. God has given us the unique purpose of going and telling, and he's given us the unique purpose of turning from our bad behavior and following. And so my hope is that we will all consider what we need to turn from this morning, but we'll also go and tell. And so as we conclude today, I hope there's one thing that you will come away with, and that is God is pursuing you with purpose and patience. And so Pastor Rich is going to come now, and he's going to lead us in communion, and you're going to have an opportunity to reflect on who Jesus is. And so Jesus is the hero of this story. Jonah's not the hero. Jesus is the hero. And maybe you're thinking, how is Jesus the hero? I didn't see him in any of what you said this morning. As Jonah was sinking down into the depths of the ocean, this rescuer, this big fish came and swallowed up Jonah. And he was in there for 3 days and three nights. And we see that as an allegory for what happens later. Jesus was on the cross, and then he goes in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. And as a result, we have direct access to God who forgives us. And so, Pastor Rich, won't you lead us as we remember?
Thank you.